On the CFO Story, we sit down with CFOs to discuss what's relevant, learn how to navigate in today's markets as a CFO, and give them a platform to share their stories. We want to hear your CFO story.
Hey guys, welcome back to the CFO Story podcast. I'm here today. I'm Jason Lee, and I'm here with my co-host, Sammy Abood.
Hey guys, welcome.
Sammy, good morning. And we are joined by Jesse Rubenfeld from FinOptimal. He's the CEO and founder. Jesse, how are you doing this morning?
Fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we are excited to have you. So I met Jesse through Vistage. And those of you that don't know, Vistage is a peer organization where you spend time trying to improve your company or trying to figure out ways you can serve those that run and operate companies. And they have a phenomenal leadership council, and it's a great way to get together and grow. And I met Jesse at a meeting there one time, and then and I went to explore his LinkedIn. I thought, man, this is a perfect guy to have on our show, come out and help share the story of CFOs, because I think he brings a phenomenal solution to that marketplace. And the best part about it is he's got a background in it, right? He saw a problem and he went out and fixed it. So we're going to talk a little bit about Jesse, his story, and also we're going to share a little bit about the tool, his company, and what they're doing to make CFOs' lives better. And that's our goal here with this show, is to get things in your hands if you're a CFO, so you can hear it, see it, and then go, wow, okay, this is a resource. Because a lot of times, if you're a CFO, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because you guys are both CFOs, you don't have a lot of time to try to figure out what's out in the marketplace because you're so buried at the job trying to, you know, fight fires all day long, right?
100%.
Time is a commodity that is hard to come by certain times and spaces, for sure.
Yeah. So, Jesse, hey, walk us through it. Give us a little bit about your background and how FinOptimal came to be.
Thank you. You know, it's really about automating my own job at first to create more time for myself to spend it on higher value add stuff. Right? When I first started getting bills that had to be paid into QuickBooks, getting monthly journal entries booked, reconciling credit card charges, the tactical elements of accounting and finance took up so much of my time. I started when you still had to file paper bills in cabinets. And I was constantly looking for ways to reduce the amount of time I spent. And because I was working at tech companies, I saw software developers doing things that helped them automate their jobs unrelated to accounting and finance. Right, there was a guy who wrote a script to log into the bank account and pull some transaction data. This was long before Plaid and Yodlee and write bank feeds and QuickBooks. And I said, hey, show me how to do that. And over time, I really took a liking to, at the time that was writing Perl, that was the name of the programming right. language. But I really took a liking to the constructive element of software development. And I started to invest what I like to call capital time, which is, all right, I'm going to spend 20 hours learning enough Perl to write this bank script, and that's a lot of time. I'm taking a lot of time to do that. I'm not being productive, not doing my job, but I'm making that investment because once I turn that thing on and it's working, now it's saving me an hour a week, pays itself back in half a year, right? And that was just the first of many tools. So fast forward 15 years, I got to a point where I could do a controller's job or a CFO's job that would typically command a nice 40-hour a week salary in a fraction of that, 4 or 5 hours a week. And I felt like, wow, you know, these economies of scale, I've got to somehow make this available to other CFOs, right?
Fantastic.
Like, wow, I can save a ton of my time. How can I get more leverage from my time? You know, I started my career at LimeWire, which was a popular file sharing software program at the time. And I later went to work at D.E. Shaw Research, which made supercomputers that do chemistry for drug development. And so I had a lot of exposure to different businesses, different software systems, and most importantly, a lot of software developers that from whom I picked up tools and sort of learned how to teach myself. And FinOptimal is really about trying to make the block and tackle much less painful. Yeah. Like, how can we save you the time of data entry that's error prone and that takes a lot of time? How can we save you month-end journal entries? Right. We have a software product called the Accruer, which allows you to enter you know, a single invoice into QuickBooks that needs to span multi-months on the P&L and say, in the description in QuickBooks, for the period of January 15th, 2024 to February 25th, and we automatically spread the revenue across the P&L so you don't have to book those journal entries. Mm-hmm. So it's really about saving time so that you can spend your time as CFO saying, oh, does that look right? Oh, I feel like we might be doing that over the wrong period. That should be a three-month invoice, right? Because the more time you spend doing something that's fit for, that only people can do, right? Like AI just can't really do that. AI can't look at your financials and give you strategic insight.
Right.
Right.
And we want to free you up to do more. Yeah. Of that.
So you got to free up the stuff that AI can do. So it gives you in a position. So you were doing AI before AI was cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
I might use that. That's, yeah. Absolutely.
You can. It'll cost you, but you can. Okay, it's totally yours because I just trademarked it. Like, yeah, right now, everybody heard it.
We'll call it accounting intelligence. So it's slight variant
there.
There
you go.
Absolutely.
Well, this is you're kind of speaking my language, Jesse. This is fun to hear. Such a big part of our, you know, when I recall when I was a CFO, my day to day is how do you budget your time, right? So, of course, CFOs are involved in budgeting dollars. Right, whether it's for forecasting purposes, but budgeting your own time as a CFO is critical, right? So you just described something that you were looking for creative ways to help yourself, but then it sounds like it led you into this FinOptimal to explore a little bit deeper and say, why don't we do this and market it, right?
100%.
That's awesome.
You know, I really picked up on the constructive element of software development, and at first, I was writing software that was, I was taking private clients. Hey, I'll do your books for X thousand dollars a month. And, you know, once I had 20 or 30 clients without automation, there was no way I was going to do all those people's books, right? Like, all right, I can do one full-time job in 4 hours a week, but can I do the job of 40 controllers by my, no. So I started to take on help. I started to write more software. And then eventually now I'm making available some of that software for other accounting firms so that they can get the same benefit of the savings of that time. And that's what our newest products that we're actually selling as a software as a service. You can go online and sign up Accruer, sign up Booker, which is a spreadsheet to QuickBooks tool, without even talking to us. Or if you're an accounting firm, you know, we give bulk discounts. So, you know, we partner now with accounting firms so that we're trying to build the software to empower them to get more out of their time.
So this is proprietary stuff that you guys are developing.
Yeah, it's an add-on to QuickBooks Online.
Really cool.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So Jesse, I mean, you've been in the shoes of the CFO, and now you're out there trying to solve CFO problems. What is it like in your kind of day to day of new development? Right, it sounds like there's an endless amount of resources and things that you could create. How are you, now that you're not in the shoes of the CFO, still understanding and gathering data from the voice of the CFO to continue to, I guess, revolutionize the way that you do things? Because, I mean, it sounds like you got a great solution, but it sounds like there's probably an endless resource of different solutions that are out there and a guy like you could create. How are you staying in connection to the CFO and what problems they face?
You know, that's a great question, Jason. I think there's a big part of... So remember, we started as a third-party accounting service, mm-hmm. right? Outsourced accounting, and we right. still make a lot of money that way from okay. doing other people's books, which I consider to be a touch point with the market. So we're talking to the CEOs and sometimes CFOs, so we know what questions they're asking, and we can gear our products and services towards that. So we're in touch with the market. If we were just a software company, we'd have to run focus groups sure. and give away Amazon gift cards just to try to get information
right.
from people. But given that we have to deliver financials, you know, for 100 clients a month, we got to do the books.
That's
so
fantastic.
The software has to work. So when we tell another accounting firm, this software works, we're putting the weight of, we do this for 100 clients with this software. So it works if you can learn how to use it.
Yeah,
I love it. So the ability to stay in connection with the consumer is a big deal, right? Because I think a lot of, if you're just this, like you said, a software company, sometimes you may be solving problems that don't necessarily get to the bottom line, but it sounds like in your position, you're in the client's shoes. You're still walking with them daily, kind of understanding what their experiences are.
I mean, Sammy, maybe you can tell me if this resonates. I think a lot of our job as CFOs is curating the tools that we're going to use. Hey, we need a new ERP. Hey, right. We need a new CRM. Hey, we need a new general ledger, right?
Show me why or show me what it's going
to
do.
Right. And as the owner of the, right, you, in order to do strategic analysis, you've got to have good books. So you're in charge. You don't have to do the books yourself, but you're in charge of them getting done. And so the tools that you choose to gather T&E data from your employees or how you invoice your customers, mm-hmm. right, these are all systems that are part of your financial operation. And there are a million tools, Jason, that you could pick from to do invoicing, to do expense management. And so the tools that you pick and the way that you integrate them, the systems, the people, and the processes together are what make a financial operation. Because almost any product will work with the right integration.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the trouble is.
So this, the we'll call it the OG revenue stream that you've got. You're still doing books for other companies. This is more. This revenue stream is more than just a toe in the water for y'all, because it's providing not only providing a revenue stream, but it's kind of a built-in referral to potential new clients and say, well, tell me why or how you think this is good for us, and then you might be able to. You tell me. Say, well, I've got plenty of people you can talk to that may speak to it. Would you be interested in talking to one of our clients?
Right? I love that.
Guys tap into it that way, I'm sure, right?
100%. And you know, it's funny, we only started selling software to other accounting firms in June,
mm-hmm.
but already we've made, right? So for example, we don't do tax or audit. We never have.
Okay.
We're very focused on doing your books. We don't really even provide CFO services because it's a different skill. The ability, like, yes, I've been a CFO, but it's much harder, as I said, to write software to look at your books and say, wow, you know, comparable companies don't have the same cost structure.
Like, right.
No way. Good luck throwing AI at that.
Yeah, right.
But in order to even think about those things, you've got to have good books. So our focus has been on books, but a lot of times people say, I need someone to do my tax return. Great. Now that we're talking to a lot of CPAs because we're selling them our software and CFO services, we make intros to them. And, you know, we're contributing to the ecosystem, not just, you know, we don't want to, right, we're trying to stay in our lane, which is building tools that work well with QuickBooks. We're an entirely QuickBooks shop, as are all of our customers,
mm-hmm.
right? But you can't be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
You've got to play in an ecosystem and share. Yeah.
So I love your vision, and I love where your mind's at, because it, like, I can tell that I'm actually listening to a book right now called Your Next Five Moves. And you sound like a Your Next Five Moves kind of guy. Like, you're capable of seeing out to where you're going and what new things would you be working on. So, well, I know you, and we'll talk about this in a second. You just released some software last year. You just released some new stuff this year. Without giving away the answers to the test, but is your mind already thinking about other solutions right now? I mean, have you already got stuff baking in Jesse's incubator of problems to solve?
More than I could tell you, even if I wanted to. But look, the fact of the matter is we've released, like, packaging software for release is, there's a much higher bar of functionality. It's got to work much better than when you're just using it internally to do other people, right? If I'm doing somebody's books, it can break 40% of the time and I just come back and fix it. As long as the client gets their books, no problem. But when an accounting firm is using our software, it basically can't fail, right? So it's much harder to pack it. So all of that is a way of saying I have at least four other solid tools in the hopper that we're currently using for our service. We have one called Payroller to book payroll correctly, Allocator to do expense allocation. We have another one called Wrangler that pulls QBO data into spreadsheets.
Great name. I like that one.
Wrangler.
Wrangle the data, right?
This is really cool.
So we want to release those products. It's a bit of an extended cycle because of the testing and robustness threshold you have to meet.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, right? So you've always got to stay on the cutting edge with new, and I'm sure that's challenging.
Absolutely. And sometimes you realize that the world has passed you by for certain products. Like, I've developed things I've developed things that I've then seen other products come out and be like, oh, that product is better than what I built and have been using for years. We're going to switch.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to acknowledge, okay, you can't build everything. I'm going to yield back on that one and focus on my strengths.
Right. There you go.
Play to your strengths.
Yeah. Excellent.
Tammy, go ahead.
Yeah. So what do you think, Jesse, and you shared a little bit about your story. Sitting here listening to you, there's a lot of success that we hear that you're swimming in right now. But I'm sure it's not without its hard knocks, and it's not without trials, and it hasn't been without testing and time. And you shared some personal things with me about your past and where you grew up and where you moved before this. What would you say some of your top contributing factors would be for you that have led to the success where you think that the FinOptimal is and your team is right now? What would you attribute that to?
Well, I think a deep desire to be an entrepreneur and build an organization is a big driving factor. Because the fact of the matter is, when you start a business, and really until you have a lot of success, it's much more difficult than having a good job. I think by and large, people...
Yeah.
Well said.
People undervalue a regular paycheck. It's so simple. Every 2 weeks, they just put money in your bank account. And all you have to do is whatever the minimum amount required not to be fired. Of course, a lot of people go above and beyond, but it's a beautiful thing. When you build your own company, you deal with people that don't work out, not necessarily because they're bad, but because you picked the wrong person. You got the wrong person in the wrong seat.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, how much of my time every day do I actually spend, looking at books, writing code, training, talking to clients? You get spread much more thin in the interest of trying to build an organization, which is completely different than building software or even doing somebody's books. So that's something that I knew that I wanted in college. I took classes focused on, management. And, you know, a lot of these classes were entrepreneurs telling their stories about starting, a Subway store, a franchise. I'm going to start. Here's the vagaries of having employees that, steal money from the cash register or, like law enforcement officers who come in and want free stuff. And all right, well, it's the police. You're going to give them some of it, right? These are just like totally unrelated to the business. It's just running a business. That's been the biggest challenge, but something that I deeply crave because building something bigger than yourself is enormously satisfying. You're helping other people find their place. You're contributing your skills and hopefully helping your customers do something better than they did before, saving them time, saving them money. That's what I want.
I'm willing to bet this entrepreneurial spirit that you have has been ingrained in you. I don't think, if I were to guess correctly, that it's a new thing. I bet you this has been with you your whole life, and you can tell me if that's the case. But just listening to your story, it feels like you've always been an entrepreneur and had that spirit, and now you're honing in on it, and you have been through this process, right? And how can you help out others? It's bigger than just what you do. It's bigger than just the paycheck, isn't it?
100%. I think you're absolutely right. Even when I graduated school, I knew I wanted to start a business, and I took a job working for an entrepreneur that offered me less money for a less prestigious job than working in equity research or doing sort of the classic things that you would do coming out of, the Wharton school with you'd go into investment banking or consulting. And I took a job working basically for the controller and the CFO of this guy's companies. And I had ideas for businesses to start. If I could tell younger people thinking about doing something entrepreneurial one thing, it would be to just try it. I think there are ideas that I had that I ran by my boss or ran by other people, and they're like, I don't really know if that would work, and even if I could just give myself a little more conviction to just be like, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, they're smart people, but like, they don't know what you, just try it. Just try it, because if you make it so that your life depends on it, or at least that you feel like I got, this is sink or swim, I need to make this idea work, you will quickly get to the logical answer of, is this a good business or not? And if not, you pivot good. Somewhere else.
Very
confidence.
Cool.
Find the confidence.
Excellent. Mm.
You know, I think the thing that I love about what you're describing is there's so many stories of entrepreneurs who get out of school and then they already have a vision. I love Robert Kiyosaki's book. You know, when he describes, he specifically went to having to go through specific jobs with the idea of learning a specific skill. He went and learned how to sell this so he could learn how to sell. Then he went and did this so he could learn. Because when a long time ago, it was, what's funny is I know his name. I'm forgetting the book. But they didn't have entrepreneurial classes. They didn't have business school. A lot of times, business school was like how to go learn how to have a job. Nowadays, more colleges are actually creating entrepreneurial, platforms so people can come out and build a business,
Sure.
And it sounds like you had to kind of take the route of, I'm going to go learn a few things with a lesser, you didn't want to fall right into being a cog. You wanted to pick up some resources knowing where you were going. I just love it.
Skills.
Cool thing is like when I'm around you, like you've got great interpersonal skills and things and you have a broad variety of things to bring to the marketplace, which is not necessarily, I don't want to say not necessarily, but you don't meet a lot of accounting minds and software minds, right? That necessarily have the capacity to also pivot and just be able to jive over a conversation over a hamburger and something like easily with the sales guy. I'm a sales guy, right? By DNA. And you and I were just jiving for an hour with ease. And you approach that way. So it's like, I feel like you've got a rare gift
and
a software mind, accounting mind, but also the capacity to think and ask questions to connect with multiple people at different levels, which is fantastic. Now, you mentioned we didn't talk about this and we're getting ready to wrap up, but let's think about like there's a breakdown, I think, in communication and a disconnect between engineering, accounting, and the historical accounting tech. I mean, so I feel like there's just a gap, and I wanted to make sure you were able to capture the intent of really what your mission's about. How are you? What's your goal to bridge that gap?
You know, that is sort of the crux, Sammy. I'm sure you can relate to if you've been part of an implementation.
Absolutely.
Right. You get the consultants in and they're there for 2 weeks and they gather some information and then they go away and build your thing. And then it comes back and it looks shiny and new. And then a week or two in, you realize, oh, but there's no field for the PO number. How do we
enter? Right.
And then someone says, all right, well, just jam the PO number into the description.
Yeah.
Great. Now
no,
I'm using the description for the PO number and the description.
Right.
And that's how it starts. Because the problem is you can't know what you want in a single 2 week session where you spec everything out. So you need to be able to iterate and twist and pivot in your system building. And ideally you have people who can liaise between being an engineer and a CPA. I know what you want. I know what you want to use that information for. And so I know that the prospect of putting the PO number in the description is lunacy. That's never gonna work. You're gonna be pulling your hair out and you're gonna blame it on NetSuite or whoever, even though it's not their fault. It was just, it was not implemented well because you couldn't think of it in that 2 week consulting engagement, right? So how do you have the idea that I know what you wanna see, and I know we're gonna discover things later that we need to tweak a little bit, but I'm gonna pave the way for that flexibility.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference in
sure.
the world.
Yeah, and when you've been there, when you've been in those shoes, you can relate. It makes me think of an experience that I went through when I was a CFO where you mentioned implementation. We implemented a new accounting system. And the gentleman that not only sold us in retail the product, also implemented it. And boy, did we luck out. I mean, this guy knew his stuff. He knew the system. But to your point, he could relate. This is where you're going to want to see things. Why? Because he'd done it before. And he was a fantastic implementer. And so you know, we built a great relationship around that. It was very, you know, respected him greatly about his skill set, that he had that, he kind of straddled understanding the systems, but also how people need to see it and use it for themselves. So that's really slick.
Thank you. Yeah, so, it's a passion.
Jesse, as we get ready to wrap up, just, you know, any parting words for our CFO group, any things of inspiration, last, you know, minute things that you want to make sure you share with our audience?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. Whatever you might be going through in your day to day that feels like, hey, you know, software should be able to handle this better than it does, probably the answer is it can. If your business is based in QuickBooks Online, our software only works as an add-on to QuickBooks Online, and we only serve customers whose books are on QuickBooks Online. We'd love to talk to you about you know, solutions that are not going to be that expensive and that are going to be flexible so that as your business grows, you can get what you want out of your bookkeeping system. And if you're doing that for clients, mm-hmm. right, if you're doing other people's books as part of your service and you're spending more time, a lot of outsourced CFOs, right? There's a lot of these outsourced CFOs. They're spending too much time on bookkeeping because they're not using the power tools. We want you to use our power tools so you can spend more time doing what your customers are paying you for.
There you go.
Strategic partnership.
Nice. Fantastic. Excellent. Yeah. Taking care of people, right? Customers and taking care of your team.
Right.
Jesse, real quick, you've got your own show, right? What's the name of your show?
It's called Not Another Accounting Podcast.
Fantastic.
You can check it out on our website. You can check me out on LinkedIn/Jesse Rubenfeld. FinOptimal.com is where you can check out the Accruer and Booker, which are our software products. And we'd love to talk again soon.
Awesome. Love it.
It's been great having you, Jesse. Thank you for spending the morning with us.
Yeah, for our team, for our audience listening, if you're a CFO, controller, somebody in this space, feel free to reach out to Sammy and myself via LinkedIn. It's Sammy Aboud and Jason Lee. We'd love to hear from you. If you think you'd be a great guest or you know somebody who would be, we'd love to hear from you. Make sure you tune in and pay it forward. Give this information out to a CFO that needs to hear it. I really believe Jesse is going to make your life better. And so let's help Jesse achieve his mission of helping CFOs make their lives better by getting this into other people's hands. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
This is a CFO story. Thank you.